Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Durrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a new series entitled, America in Turmoil. The beginning of this year ended with the failed impeachment bid against President Trump by corrupt politicians. The coronavirus took center stage soon thereafter as the United States went into lockdown. Then came a cell phone video of Minnesota police officer Derek Chauvin kneeling on the neck of George Floyd for nearly 9 minutes until he was murdered. People exploded in righteous anger, and suddenly the mainstream media wasn't talking about social distancing anymore as millions took to the streets to demonstrate. At the same time, many parts of the United States have been ravaged by natural catastrophes. Where is God in this mess? This message is entitled, George Floyd and Racism. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life with Jesus Church Worldwide. And I am pausing my series that I've been doing on the demon world. And I'm going to do maybe one or two messages, or three, on the current events in the United States. We call this series America in Turmoil. And today, the title for this one is George Floyd and Racism. Before I get into this, I want to talk to the YouTube listeners. We have many YouTube listeners that are watching us continually, week after week. And let me say this to you, that last week we did not meet payroll. And we've been doing very well for more than a year and a half, and I haven't had to go and ask for any money. But for some reason, last week, the funds did not come in, and the mail that did not come in on PayPal enough that we could meet payroll. So if you are a YouTube listener and you normally don't give, would you consider this? We coming your way because somebody is paying for the ministry. It costs money to do webcasting and so on. So I appreciate if you can help us out, and maybe go to PayPal or some today and help us out so we can meet payroll this coming week. America in turmoil. Life in America was good early this year. The employment rate was 3.6%, the lowest level in decades. And this was due in part to the record number of blacks and Hispanics that have been able to secure meaningful employment under the Trump administration, and subsequently caused the unemployment rate to decrease. Life was good January 1st. I mean, America was humming. All of you saw the impeachment that was initiated by the Democrats, and that was put away by the Senate. And you had a number of other things. You had the Ukraine problem. We had a Russian probe. And all of these things fell by the wayside. But it's one thing that I want to you to think about, which is simply this. We have General Flynn. We have Roger Stone. We had approximately 15 to 20 people in the administration or they were part of the campaign to elect Trump. And they got snared into FBI stings. And they were set up. And the plan was to simply flip them. Most of you don't have a criminal mind. But the way they do it is simply this. They arrest somebody They put pressure on them and says, if you testify against your wife, if you testify against this person, we let you off the hook. If not, we're going to throw the book at you. And when they did that to these people, they had to hire lawyers. They had to sell their homes. They cleaned them out financially. These people, whatever money they had, whatever homes they had, they lost it all. But you never hear about that in the press. And I just remember I forgot to pray. Would you stand with me as we pray right now? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now. And I pray, Lord, that you will help me to deliver this message. And Father God, that I'll be precise. I will not go out in any rabbit holes. I will read the scriptures correctly, Father God. And I just want to thank you right now for the anointing upon myself and the anointing upon everyone listening. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those who agreed said, amen and amen. Now, why is this, should we as Christians think about this or talk about this? It's going to affect our lives. The church has truth. The church has the power through the Holy Spirit. Now, we got the COVID-19 virus. And suddenly, we had a travel ban on China, all the travel bans, and they were shut down. And the nation has never shut down. I mean, we shut down as a nation with business. At the same time, in the Midwest, the South Atlantic states experienced terrible storms that included tornadoes and flooding. Do you realize that there are probably at least 100,000 people plus that lost their homes in the Midwest, in the South, and in the Atlantic states through these floods and flooding and all kind of different disasters that took place? Most people in those areas do not carry insurance. And the reason is you have tornadoes, you have these weather, and the insurance company says, we are not insuring you. Here in California, if you live up in the foothills, like in Auburn, Colfax, and so on, Grass Valley, and other cities up and down California, it's very hard to get fire insurance. The insurance company simply said after the last year's wildfires, they are withdrawing. You can't get insurance because the risk is too big. So that's why these people, when a home is destroyed, they still have a mortgage to pay. How would you like that? You pay a mortgage on rubble. You got 25 years left on that. People walk away. Now, during the month of May, many of the state governors begin to reopen our states, and slowly people are going back to work. And it looked like we were going in for good times again. And then came George Floyd. Let me say something about policemen, firemen, ambulance drivers, ER personnel, doctors and nurses. Most churches do not preach and they teach about demons. But there are demons, just like it was when Jesus was here. And when you have an ambulance driver going out to somebody's died, they had to pick the body up, and policemen on there, firemen on there, and so on. When a person dies, the evil spirits get out of that person. And I would liken that to a bus. Picture a bus that has an explosion on the tire. It stops, and they have to wait for another bus, and all the passengers come out and stay around outside the bus waiting for a new vehicle. And that's why these people, firemen, policemen, ambulance drivers, ER workers, have a very high suicide rate. And it cannot be explained unless you understand demons. The same thing goes for prison guards. I have done a number of times. I visit just about every prison here in Northern California, including San Quentin. And I've seen the prison guards. And when you have a prison guard, if he's not praying spiritual warfare, that prison is absolutely infested by evil spirits. And the guards eventually get so loaded down, they become very cruel, they become angry, they become sadistic, and the reason for that is they are simply possessed by evil spirits. So this is what the problem we have with law enforcement, and this is also the problem we have with people that are soldiers. When they're in a battle, people die around them, they get loaded up with demons. So all of you have seen how George Floyd died. And when I saw it, I could not believe what I saw. That somebody, a policeman, cold-blooded, shackled a person, arrested him, and then put him down on the street, had two other policemen sit on his leg and his side, and this policeman simply put his knees on his neck, and for 8 minutes and some seconds, he simply slow strangled him. And you heard the words, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And that policeman wanted to make sure that George Floyd had it. And when there was no more noise, no more talking, no more pulse, he said to the paramedic, okay, take him up and see if you can revive him. He was already dead. I looked at the man, the policeman, and you've seen him. He was just sitting like this and smiling a little bit like that for 8 minutes. Why? He was demon-possessed. Every unsaved person is a citizen in the kingdom of Satan. Now, on page number 2 of my outline, I share with you here that George Floyd and the policeman, Derek Chauvin, they knew each other. They had worked at the bar as security. So when George Floyd came with a $20 fake bill, and Derek was the one that responded, there must have been some chemistry between the two men. And the result is the country exploded. I don't think it was so much that George Floyd was black and Derek Chauvin was white. I think there was hate between them, at least from Derek. And the demons in him, because doing that, knowing that he got people filming it, you got to be insane. You know this, that you're going to get arrested. You're going to go to clink for this. And any policeman that's arrested, sentenced to prison, and sent to prison, doesn't live very long. The prisoners will kill him. It's a death sentence. Now, this sparked immediate outrage. And we had the hundreds of thousands of people in the streets. This is organization, I'm going to be talking about that next week, Antifa. Some people most of the media call them Antifa, but I'm supposed to call them Antifa because he is anti-fascist. And there is a world government. There are people behind the scenes, and they are something. They were waiting for something like this to happen, because you've seen riots before, and then you have the looting and the burning coming in. So we had professional agitators in New York City and other places. This group had pickup trucks, they had pallets, and they would simply drive in at certain intersections and unload bricks, so that when the protesters came up, they had the bricks ready to go and to throw them. That's not a spontaneous protest. That is a planned protest. Now, I can see people upset, but that doesn't mean that you burn buildings down and hurt other people, because the people that you are burning the business from, most of them are people that either are black or they're not that rich people. So let me now, before I go into this here, I want to share this with you. Two things. 2 days ago, the news came from Idaho. We've been hearing for about a year about a man and a woman that had divorced their spouses and moved to Hawaii, and the woman's two children had disappeared. They were looking for them. And both the man and the woman said, they're fine. Well, 2-3 days ago, they found the children. Joshua, 7 years old. His sister, Tally Ryan, 17 years old. Buried on the ground in a remote area in Idaho of the husband of this woman. What we find out is that the mother to the children was in some type of a religious cult, and it was an offspring of Mormonism, and she proclaimed that she was a prophetess and that she was going to save the world. She divorced her husband. They lived in Arizona, moved up to Idaho, where she met this man that simply felt also he was a prophet and he was going to do a lot of things of Mormon revelations. He had a printing shop. He was doing different things and so on. And the two of them decided to get married. Incidentally, the woman's husband in Arizona was killed by her brother. And the man's wife in Idaho, she was killed. They don't know how she died. It was just mysteriously. The two of these birds married. Children disappeared. They moved to Hawaii and said, everything is fine. I want you to say this now. If you're a mother or a father, you know that you will not harm your children. Can you imagine 7-year-old Joshua and 17-year-old Tyler Ryan meeting their death? Here is a mother, a stepfather. We don't know how to kill if they shot them, strangled them, get them poisoned. We don't know. But they died. They were put in shallow graves. Their life was over. What motivated this man and woman? Were demon possessed. So what we have now is we have a lot of demonic activities. 2 days ago in Atlanta, Georgia, Rayshard Brooks, 27-year-old, a black man, had been drinking, drove up to a Wendy's fast food outlet, parked the car and went to sleep. He was too drunk. Other people could not pass. And so they called the police, and they came, and it ended up, it escalated, they got him out and so on. Photo was done, you see in the video. And this man is dead. More fire, more fuel on the fire. So I'm going to go to my next point there. Then I'm going to come back to the race problem. Where is God in all of this? Because I want you to know something right now. We're sitting on a pot that might boil over. Because here's a scenario you've got to watch. If we have a total breakdown across the country, and the police departments are being pushed right now to the limit, and they abolish them or whatever they do, hold them back, we're going to have white militia, Tea Party members, we're going to have regular people, including black people, going to rise up and say, you know, if the politicians cannot give us security, we will have it ourselves. We will do it ourselves. And I want you to know that there are militias, they're ready, they've been training for this for years. I've met some of them. And they are semi-military force. That would mean a civil war. It would simply mean that they'd be fighting in the streets. And if it breaks down, our country might be taken over because the Chinese and the Russians are watching. And the Iranians are watching. And the Chinese are on Facebook. The Iranians are on Facebook, as well as the Russians. And they are fueling it. They have their own trolls that are feeding this. So where's God in all of this? Look at the outline here on page number 2. As I was sitting this week and praying, it took me several days to really get this message where God wanted it. I want to show you what we've done. In 2017, doctors and clinic workers murdered 862,320 children. Can you imagine that now? You have children conceived, living, murdered. Did anyone ask these children? They had souls. Do you want to die? A mother does not have the right over her uterus. A mother does not have the right to kill children. This is what the feminists say. In 2018, the number rose to 876,000. Now, they're crying over it. If you had about 140,000 people died of the COVID-19 virus. And that's bad. But why isn't the press crying over it, simply saying, you know, we got over close to 1 million people murdered? They don't talk about it. Do you know that 2,400 children are murdered every day? Well, we have this service here today, this Sunday. Today, 2,400 children are going to die, murdered. From 1970 to 2016, we had 46,413,319 babies have been killed in hospitals and clinics. Did the homicide of 46.54 million people matter to God? Ask yourself this. There was a time, you're in a chapel, you're not watching, there was a time that you were an egg and a sperm that came together, and there was life, your soul was put in, and you started to exist at the time of conception. That's when life started. Now, you're not alive here today. You ought to thank your mothers and say, thank you, mother, that you didn't kill me. Because we have 46 million moms have killed their babies. The people of Israel were the apple of God's eye. Turn to Deuteronomy 32:10. And we read this. He found him in a desert land, in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. God loved Israel, the 12 tribes. They were the apple of his eye. He brought them out of Egypt. He showered them with all kinds of things, the blessings. They were his people. But they provoked God to jealousy by sacrificing their children on the altar of strange gods. If we look at Deuteronomy 32, and we go to verse number 15. But Jeshurun, that's referring to Israel, waxed fat. That means he got prosperous and kicked. You waxed fat, you're grown thick, you're covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They sacrificed to the devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that beget you, you are unmindful, has forgotten God that formed you. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred it, because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. Let's go down to verse 21. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not the people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with their increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend my arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger, and devoured with burning heat, and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them, with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without, the terror within, shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also, with a man of gray hairs. And then verse number 28. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Now here's what I want to tell you today. If God spared not Israel, but judged them harshly, why should he simply spare America? Is there any reason? If you look upon it, America has been blessed. In the 1700s, we had the great revivals on the East Coast that swept all of us in America at that time. We had revivals in the 1800s. We had D.L. Moody and his great revivals. We had Billy Sundays in the early 1900s. We had revivals in the 1930s and 40s. We got the baptism of the Holy Spirit poured out. We had Billy Graham. We had Oral Roberts. We had a number of people, and men and women, Catherine Kuhlman. And this is an era that you younger people do not understand. You don't know what it was. But I have been in meetings where we had 60,000 people singing our hearts out, people getting saved. It was a fantastic move of God. I've been to full gospel businessmen's conventions where you had thousands upon thousands of people. And we saw healings that is absolutely unbelievable. I've seen people, they put them up on a stage. I saw legs grow out. I saw the blind to see. I saw people that were deaf that were healed. A tremendous move of God. Where is it now? It barely exists. We have turned from God. Turn to page number 3. And I'm going to take it to Jeremiah 24. I'm trying to wake up some people. You know, if you study the revivals, you will find that the revivals always began with less than 10 people that were praying. Every revival, there were people that saw the wickedness. And this nation had been wicked. We turned back to God. We got wicked again. And these people simply said this, God, we're not going to let go until we have hear from heaven. And they would pray. They would fast. Just a few people. They would be in a house someplace. Nobody would know them. And they could go on for sometimes 6 months, sometimes for a year or 2 years. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit came down. And now people got saved, left and right. Bars closed. Crime went down. Tremendous move of God. This is what I want to provoke today. It will take a few dedicated people that would say, we're going to intercede. We're going to fast. We're going to steadfastly on a daily basis pray for God to move. Amen. That's what it's going to take. It's not going to start with unbelievers. It's going to have to start in the church. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 24, and we're going to read from verse number 9 and 10. And I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places where I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, 3 judgments on top of each other. The sword, the famine, the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. In your outline on page number 3, the sword, what do we have today? We got violence, riots, looting, and burning of buildings. Not in one city, but in many cities. Is it going to increase or decrease? It's up to people that are praying. The famine, flooding and destruction of farmland. We have lost about maybe 35 to 40% of the farmland in the Midwest has been made. You cannot use it right now. It's been destroyed by the flood. The pestilence. We have the COVID-19. And we've been warned now. It's coming back. It is coming back. 3 things. The question is, how many pastors have revelation they can see that something needs to be done? This is not something we solve with the police or the National Guard or with the U.S. Armed Forces. It's a spiritual problem. We have a problem. God has a beef with us, if I can use that term. And God is simply saying this, I don't care about your comfort. I want repentance. I don't want any more children murdered. I want the murder to stop. Look at the following thing that I brought out. Video game sales in the United States generated $134,000 billion. We sell them worldwide. In deliverances, I've had a number of people come in, men and women, that are simply hooked on video games, violent video games, pornographic video games. They play them almost 24 hours till they exhaust them. The combined revenue for American casinos was $41.7 billion. This is in 2019. Sales of pet food, look at this. $95.7 billion. That's how much we spend on pet food. Now look upon Christian missions, $33 billion. We spend almost two-thirds more on pet food than on mission work. God sees that. I'm not against pets. But I'm just saying where priorities are. Alcohol sales in the U.S. accounted for $240 billion. The gross income of the pornographic industry in America was $13 billion. And the American church member gives 2.58%. We're supposed to give 10%. The average is 2.58%. And I'm going to turn to Malachi right now. Now, I don't blame a lot of people because who wants to send money to the mega preachers, mega churches? You know, a mega pastor, you got to have at least one jet, at least three Bentleys, at least four homes, vacation home in Hawaii, one in the Bahamas, you know, one up in the Idaho someplace for snow, and one in the further south, you know. I mean, these guys live high on the hogs. I understand. We don't want to send money to them. Many are corrupt. But here's what happened. Malachi 3, verse number 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you come away from my ordinances, have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? People said, now, what have we done? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, when have we robbed you? In tithe and offerings. Every Christian who does not tithe is a thief. Now, I made a lot of people upset when I said this about 3 years ago. Because a lot of Christians say, well, we don't believe in tithing as Old Testament, you know, and don't call me a thief, right? The Bible says if you do not give 10% of your income, you are a robber. A robber is a thief. So wear it. Change. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So when we don't tithe, we are cursed. The whole nation is cursed. One of the things we do in deliverance, we have people break this curse. Now, once you start tithing, then God can start blessing you. If you don't tithe, you are in charge of your finances. If you tithe, God's in charge of your finances. He does a better job than you and I. Bring your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me not herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast the fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Due to the revivals in the 30s and 40s and 50s, we, as in America, most people in churches tithe. We set up missionaries. We did a lot of stuff. And God blessed America. That blessing now is shrinking. Let me talk to you about pornography. 50% of Christian men and 20% of Christian women say they are addicted to pornography. We see that in our deliverances. Pornography is big. It's a disaster. It's just as addictive as nicotine, alcohol, cocaine, you name it. Pornography is addictive. The most popular day of the week for viewing porn is Sunday. Now, this is from a Christian research organization. So what does many Christians do? Instead of going to church on Sunday, that's the time they view the porn. What do you think God is going to say about that? He's looking down and saying, these are my people. They're not worshiping me. They're into porn. They're sitting there masturbating, doing all kind of things. Do you think that God is going to say, well, Lord, that's okay. They don't know better. There's a judgment. Look at the cancer rate we have. Patrick Means, author of Men's Secret Wars, we read that 63% of pastors surveyed confirmed they are struggling with sexual addiction, sexual compulsion included but not limited to the use of pornography and compulsive masturbation or other secret sexual activity. We were talking the other day, a couple of people here, what is a Christian faith? And I said, the Christian faith is based upon the Bible. If you take away the Bible, we have no Christian faith. Everything we do is based upon the Bible. So we have now bastard Bibles, concept Bibles, and so you've got preachers in there that have been told in the seminaries, there are no demons. There's no baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are no gifts. There's no healing. All you have is just, you know, give them Jesus. Have them repent of their sins. And then run the church as a social institution. That's it. No wonder we have hundreds of pastors commit suicide every year. Some are very prominent. They can't take it. So if you look upon this, and then we say, God, why are you mad at us? Now you know what we have done as a nation. You and I, before we were delivered, before we were saved, we were in this mess. We changed. What's our role? We now got to pray and fast and get the word out, get people saved, and ask for the Holy Spirit to come down. Let me talk to you about racial discrimination. Racism is a class of evil spirits which have been active since the time of Noah. I come from a small town in Sweden. It's called Huskvarna. And approximately 2 miles away was another city which was bigger called Jönköping. They were only about 2 miles difference geographically. We that were living in Huskvarna, we had our own dialect. The people living in Jönköping, they had their dialect. They had a soccer team. We had a soccer team. And when they played, it was horrible. If I would go in to that town, which is only 2 miles away, and I opened my mouth, they would say, you're from Huskvarna, and they would attack me. You're no good. Racism is a spirit. During World War II, we got a lot of Danish people that had fled, particularly children. They were in my hometown. And I heard my parents talk about, you know, those stupid Danes, you know, I hate those Danish people, blah, 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 blah. So what happened to me? I hated the Danes. I had one guy in school, and I spewed my hate out of him because I was demonized, and that's what I told. So racism is all around. It is not just black and white. Racism against Indians, Hindus, India, Japan. Now, I talk here in this one here, and I'm going to just really condense it down. So in the 16th century, British Jewish merchants, and they were rich at that time. I'm not against the Jews. I'm just telling you who they were that had the money. They saw there was a market for slaves in North America. And they made ships capable of transporting captured African men and women here to not the United States of America. And you had Spanish, French, Dutch, Danish, and Portuguese slave traders. Now, a slave ship was like a sardine box. And each slave was shackled to a seat. And the trip over from Africa to North America could take anywhere from a month to a month and a half. Now, these poor people sat in that ship. They had to relieve themselves, get to the bottom. And after a month and a half in that, you can imagine the stench and the sickness and the filth. Most people didn't survive. Now, tribes don't like each other. And so what they did was that the slave traders came down on the coast. They'd taken the coast. And they said to the tribes of the coast, you go inland and you go and capture men and women and children for us. We buy them from you and we ship them off. What gives the right to a human being to capture another human being, shackle him and say, you are my slave? We don't have that right. That's from Satan. And these people simply were possessed by Satan. The men and women that came into this country, actually to North America at that time, how would you like to be put on an auction block and undressed to your underwear? And they would come up and they would check your arms and muscles. They would open your mouth to see how many teeth you have left. And they would see, you know, how much you were worth. They said, okay, I give them $3 for that guy, you know. How would you feel? You're a human being. But you would trade like a commodity. That's how the slaves were traded. We had that not only in North America. We had it in the Caribbean. We had it in Brazil. We had it in other countries where we have black people there. And that is an injustice that was never corrected. 12 million of Africans were transported on slave ships during a period of 400 years. Many of the deaths died as they had forced march to the coast. 2.4 million died in the slave ships. Now, slavery was officially abolished in the United States after the Civil War. But that didn't change much in the South. And we had segregation. They were called Jim Crow laws, and that's what they called black people, Jim Crow. And I remember, back in the 60s, I heard Billy Graham say this, I will not go and have a crusade in the South unless black people can come in and sit wherever they want to sit. I remember that, because it was segregated. Martin Luther died for fighting. Let me take you right now to Galatians chapter 3. And we pick it up here in verse number 26 through 29. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized in Christ and put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Here's how we are. Every one of us, we have a soul. A soul does not have a color. A soul is made in the image of God. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be people of different skin colors. We have one color. Whatever color is going to be in heaven, we don't know. The body you have is from whatever background you come from. Have you got different categories on earth? But you see, the skin color does not mean that you're different. Because you can take a black man, he can donate a heart to a white man, and it works just as well. You can take a Chinese, he can simply donate a kidney to a person that is black, and it works just as well. Inside all the parts, we are the same. We are made in the image of God. There's no difference. It's like you have cars. Let's say you have Ford cars. Now, they don't make them in one color anymore. You can have Ford Mustang can come in five different colors. And it says, well, that's a blue car, that's a red car, that's a this and that. That's fine, that's outside. Inside, it's a Mustang, the same. So we need to understand this. We are all the same. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, and God said, let them make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In him, God created him. Male and female created he them. If you take a person from India, you take a Chinese, you take a person from Japan, you take an Eskimo, you take an American Indian, you take a white person, you take a black person, we are all the same. We just got colored differently. We got different features. Some got slanted eyes, and some got this eye, some got round eyes, some got big noses, and some got different noses. But we all the same. Discrimination is of the devil. It's to divide and conquer. Let me take you quickly here to Exodus 20. So why are we having problems today in America? Because of the sins of the people have lived before us. In Exodus chapter 20, we read this. And God spake all these works, saying, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto you any graven image, or the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and in the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You have a four-generation curse. In my family, we had alcoholism. In my family, people had sex before marriage, going back in the 1800s. Had children out of wedlock. It went from one generation, next generation, next generation. I was cursed with that curse. We are, in America today, paying for the sins of the people that were here before us, and for the things we are doing here today. What's the solution? Turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. And this is what I want you to take home with you. Have you read this? And the Lord appeared to Solomon of the night, and said to him, I have heard your prayer, had chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. I feel sorry for the pastors in America today. They don't know they are broken. They can only do what they are taught. And I'm going to close with these thoughts. As a child, as a young man, I was a liar. I was a cheat. I was a coward. I was a bum. And my wife, between my wife and God, I got changed. I remember joining my first church after I came back to Christ in 1965. And I joined the Southern Baptist Church in Salt Lake City, Utah. I had a great pastor. And so I told him one day, he said, you know, we need more money. I said, no problem. I run gambling before. I can set up a nice gambling situation here in the church basement, and I can bring in the money you need. And I saw fire come out of his eyes. He was angry. He said, sit down, John. We don't do that here. This is God's house. God finances it. And he simply read me the Riot Act. And he said, you cannot do this. He said, there's no politics in church. Because I told him one time, we're going to have a business meeting. He wanted something. I said, I can fix that. I can go and talk to different people. I can line them up. He said, we don't do that. You have to be honest, truthful, not deceitful. I got a second pastor. He was just a tough. And they simply hammered out the crud out of me, where I simply am what I am today. Can I brag about it? No. It's a gift of God. You are here today in the chapel because the gift of God. You that are watching, it's a gift from God. You're saved by the grace. We are what we are because of grace. And what we need to do now is to simply tighten up our own personal lives. Begin to say, hey, you want to be my prayer partner? Let's start praying for a revival. Let's start praying for God to intervene in this nation. Let's pray that the sin will stop. That is the only solution. Jesus is the only solution. You can't make people love one another. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. And that's what I want to leave with you here today. So if you are not saved and you're watching, you say, I want to get saved, here's what you do. You simply say, right now I'm a sinner. I need to get saved. Father God, forgive me for my sins. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day. He paid my sins. Come on, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. And he will. When we finish here, you're going to see the screen change on your TV set or your computer. And you're going to see three crosses coming up. And then you're going to hear the soothing voice of Pastor Charles saying, my friend. And he will talk to you about salvation, pray with you, make sure that you get saved. And if you do that today, would you contact us? We would like to rejoice with you. And to those of you that are walking with Christ, most of you walking tight with the Lord. Some of you are iffy. You're still not quite with it. But simply where you live, find one or two or three people and say, let's meet once a week and let's pray for revival. Call your pastors in the town and say, I'd like to meet with you. Can you give me an appointment? And simply go to the pastor and say, Pastor, I'm so concerned about this community. Can we have a prayer meeting where we have different pastors come together and Christians from different churches and we can pray for revival? God will use that. I remember Billy Graham Crusades. I came back to Christ for Billy Graham. I worked in about four or five Billy Graham Crusades. And I know this. We had prayer meetings for 1 week, 1 month, year. Every week, prayer meeting for the crusade. And there were people that had home meetings. And we did that faithfully for 1 year. Our goal, pray for that crusade that city. When the crusade started, and we saw 25, 30,000 people in the stadium, I knew this before we started, that when he was through, there would be at least 1,000 people at the front getting saved, like clockwork. Sure enough, we start singing his song, Just As I Am, and people begin to come down from the different bleachers, and they come forward. You've seen that probably on television from time to time. And they were genuine people. I was genuine. That's how I came back to Christ. So we knew. We had a week revival. We knew this could be clockwork. We're going to get 1,000, 2,000 tonight, another 2,000 tomorrow. Why? Because Billy Graham said, I will not come to a town unless the crusade is prayed for 1 year. Do you hear that today? No. I'd like to introduce that back. With that, praise the Lord. God bless you. I preached my heart out tonight. This morning, I'm already at night. So I pray that you will change, that you will make a difference. Pastor Charles.
Father God, there are solutions that we try to enact many times on our own. The simplest solution many times is to throw money at something. Just throw enough money at it and you can fix it. Or, you know, we invest enough time in something. But Father God, as we were listening to this message, there is a great divide that's in this country. There's a political divide. There is a racial divide. There's all kinds of division. And if we're setting about to fix just one of those, we wouldn't even be that successful. So, Father God, we're asking that you would help us to solve every single divide at the same time. And, Father, we know that only Jesus is that solution. That as we present Jesus to people, lives will be changed. As individual lives are changed, values are changed, and healing can occur. And so, Father God, I'm reminded of the fact that just as you forgave us, you forgot our sins. It says that you remember them no more. That we need to practice more forgiveness in this country. More mercy, more grace, more love. And so, Father God, we can try and do that in the flesh. But it needs to be supernatural. It needs to be through the power of your Holy Spirit. And so that is our prayer. Help us to be vessels that can be used by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something? Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the first part in the series, America in Turmoil, and was entitled, George Floyd and Racism. The beginning of this year ended with a failed impeachment bid against President Trump. The Chinese coronavirus took center stage soon thereafter. The video of Minnesota police officer Derek Chauvin kneeling on the neck of George Floyd for nearly 9 minutes released a lot of pent-up anger about discrimination as millions took to the streets to demonstrate. Antifa seized the opportunity to instigate riots across America. At the same time, many parts of the country have been ravaged by natural catastrophes. The vaunted 500-year storms are now happening every year. Where is God in this mess? Why is He allowing this to happen? The prophet Jeremiah recorded how the sword, famine, and pestilence were used to punish Israel some 2,600 years ago. God is behind the barrage of calamities we are experiencing in the United States. They are part of His judgment for America's iniquities. Will people turn to Jesus or harden their hearts and refuse to repent? This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1760. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.